Today we will be, our sermon text is taken from John chapter 10, verse 27 and 28, which reads, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." The imagery of sheep is used all throughout the scriptures, often used as sacrificial animals. We see this when Abraham was stopped from killing Isaac by the angel of the Lord, and we found a ram in the thickets, which is a male sheep. The blood of the Passover was taken from a lamb without blemish, which is just a baby sheep. And we have Jesus himself, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Sheep is also used to describe God's people, first of the Israelites and later by all of God's people. And we'll say the primary reason for that is because sheep are defenseless animals. They're lost without their shepherd and need his protection. So that's what we will be looking at today. Earlier in this chapter, Jesus is speaking in parables about the good shepherd and his sheep. Starting in verse 1, he says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." And then in verse 11, it says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep." And the purpose of these parables is to highlight that all who ever came before Jesus were imposters, but he is the true shepherd who cares for and protects the sheep, evidenced by his righteous walk on this earth, as well as the miracles he performed, and the fact that he laid down his life for the sheep, to be resurrected as he foretold in verse 17. "Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." And so as we approach our text, we find a group of Jews who did not appreciate the parable so much. They surrounded him and demanded that he answer them, starting at the end of verse 24. They said, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." And so from our text we will observe two things. First, who are Christ's sheep? And second, the Good Shepherd's protection. So first, who are Christ's sheep? I think most of us would readily answer that Christ's sheep are those who believe, and rightly so. Back in the 6th chapter of John, Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life." So then those who believe must be one and the same as a sheep. But in this portion of scripture, Jesus is describing the characteristics of a sheep. And he says in verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." One of these is not enough. All three are the marks of his sheep. It isn't enough to just hear his voice and not to follow him, as we see at the end of Luke chapter 9, when Jesus explicitly tells a man to follow him, but the man said, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And the warning here is for those too busy and too consumed with the world to follow Jesus. They might hear his words, but they have an idol in their life that is standing before them, and they are reluctant to let go. We have everlasting life standing before us, offered free of charge. Is there really something in this world more important to you, to anyone, than this? For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? In other words, what would you be willing to give up to save your soul? Would you give up lying or stealing? Lustful behavior? How about video games, sports, politics? Or what about friends and family? For here's another word of caution that Jesus spoke in Luke chapter 14. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? It is common and easy to overlook these words of Jesus, or perhaps to just ignore them outright, hearing only what we want to hear. But when Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, he means they cannot miss it. His voice speaks to them, effectually calling them, and they cannot turn aside, but will follow him no matter where he goes, trusting his words over their own hearts, as we see in the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Jesus is our shepherd, and we trust him more than ourselves. And when the shepherd calls, his sheep hear his voice and come running. The next of these characteristics is that Jesus knows his sheep. In verse 14 and 15 of this chapter, he says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And now it's important that we do not misunderstand what is being said here. This does not mean that he is simply aware of who you are, for he is aware of all things, and he knows all people. But when he says, I know my sheep and am known by my own, he's talking about a personal, loving relationship as demonstrated between the love of the Father to his Son. If we know who Jesus is but do not have that relationship with him, then he does not know you. And this is evidenced in Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And from this passage, we can see that there are those who call after Jesus. Clearly, they have heard of his mighty name and the many wonders and works associated with him. And by outward appearances, they even seem to follow him, following in his footsteps with many wonders, prophesying and casting out demons. Yet Jesus does not know them. And the key to understanding this passage comes at the end of the statement when Jesus says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Do you think that you have heard his voice? Do you follow him only by going to church? Just to walk outside and regularly practice lawlessness? Sin is a serious crime against God Almighty. There's no such thing as a little sin. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Though I must be clear, this does not mean that his sheep will never sin, or that we will be condemned if we sin. For sheep do run astray at times, but praise God that there is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But that only applies to the sheep, to those who delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Does the good shepherd know you? It isn't those who say, "Lord, Lord," that shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of the Father in heaven. And we must look to Jesus for his example. In John 6:38, Jesus says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." In John 5:30, "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." And just before he was about to give his life, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours." And if you are one of the sheep, you can take comfort in this promise. "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So lastly, we come to that final characteristic of his sheep, and that they follow him. And by this point, I think we have a basic understanding of what it means to be his sheep. Our words mean nothing if we ignore his voice. And we clearly do not know him if we exercise our own will over his, practicing lawlessness. But as I mentioned earlier, sheep have a tendency to go astray at times. But does this mean they do not hear the voice of their shepherd? No. It only means they have lost their way in the chaos and confusion of this world. Does it mean their shepherd no longer knows them? Of course not. And that lost sheep, as well as the shepherd, will rejoice when they are reunited once more. Sheep will always respond to their shepherd's voice and will follow him so long as they can hear him and see him. For they know it is their shepherd who leads them to green pastures and still waters and is willing to lay down his life for them. But there are times when things happen, when the noise of the world gets so loud to distract us, or when the enemies attack and the dust flies and the sheep get scattered. Yet when they hear the voice of their shepherd, they come running and follow him once more. True Christians may stumble from time to time, but they never lose faith in their Savior. The mark of a true sheep is that they remain loyal and follow him. 1 John 2:19 says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us." How do you know if you are a true sheep? You continue to follow Jesus. If you stumble in sin, even should you walk in it for a while, true sheep always repent and ask forgiveness. But those who pretend to believe because their friends do, or because their parents made them, or those who come to church for a while, going through the motions and having never put their faith in Jesus, years later, only to say, "I used to be a Christian." Well, friends, these were never Christians. It is impossible to be one of his sheep and to lose your salvation. And if you are one of his sheep, you will follow him till the day you are taken out of this world. Which brings us to our next point, the Good Shepherd's protection. "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." His sheep hear his voice. He knows them and they follow him. It is a loving relationship, well cared for. But I would like us to see this picture for what it truly is. Do sheep choose their shepherd, or does the shepherd choose them? Do they protect themselves from danger, or is that the shepherd's responsibility? Christ was deliberate in choosing his words and imagery to explain the truths of the gospel. He is our shepherd. We are his sheep. But we have done nothing to deserve such a thing. And scripture is clear that we cannot earn salvation. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It is a gift, and we do not earn gifts. Therefore, when Christ gives his sheep eternal life, it is not for their effort and hard work or their good deeds. Neither is it because they are less sinful than others. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory. And the wages of sin is death. So what we truly deserve is death. Yet it was while we were still sinners that Christ died for us, standing in our place, because the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But if this is true, then we didn't earn it, and we didn't deserve it, and it was only given to us by his good grace, and this while we were sinners, why would he choose to give it to us at all? Hours before his death, Jesus told his disciples, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." And Paul says in his greeting to the Ephesian saints, "He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoptions as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved." So why would he choose us? To bear fruit that remains, and that the glory of his grace will be made known through his sheep as they stand before him in love, holy and without blame. Do we deserve this gift? No. But are we grateful nonetheless? Of course we are. And one of the greatest miracles of all is that this grace is offered to all who repent and believe in the Son. No one knows who belongs in the sheepfold except God. And Jesus said, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out." So come to Jesus. He will not cast you out. His sheep have eternal life, and they shall never perish. It is not a temporary life that will be lost when you go astray. The moment you truly put your faith in Jesus for salvation, you are saved permanently. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. We were dead in our trespasses, but have passed from death into life the moment we first believed. We shall never perish. We shall never come into judgment because we have been justified by his blood. Or do you suppose that he would let us die again to the shame of his grace? But what kind of saving grace is that? That it would be given only so long as we could keep it ourselves. If we could never earn it to begin with, how can we possibly keep it? If it required the death and the blood of the Son of God in order to save us in the first place, what could we do on our own? We have no righteousness except his. And while we have been justified, we have not yet been perfectly sanctified, but are actively being conformed to the image of his Son. And therefore, it would be impossible for any sheep to keep their own salvation apart from the protective hands of Jesus Christ. But praise God that we were never meant to do such a thing. Sheep need a shepherd, and the good shepherd has given his life for his sheep. He died, was buried, and has risen. He now lives, seated at the right hand of God the Father, currently making intercession for us, protecting us from the evils of this world, and no one shall snatch us from his hands. And if that isn't enough for you, remember, the Father also aids in this protection. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. They are working together. Christ's sheep are gifts from his Father to his Son. If one day we are his sheep and the next we are not, then that is not a perfect gift of God, but a faulty one and a disappointment. Unless you think that this is all being done behind the scenes from heaven, those who have been born again as sheep of Christ have been sealed and given the Holy Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee, who helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. there are many things in this world that we might cause us to fear, but the security of our salvation should not be one of them. If you are one of his sheep, you will always be one of his sheep. Christ, the Good Shepherd, will protect us, and he will not let anyone or anything snatch us out of his hand. Let us pray. Holy Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the protection that you give us, that those who put their faith in your Son have everlasting life, a gift that will last throughout eternity to your praise and glory. So Lord, we do not deserve this, but that gives us all the more reason to praise you. We ask that you continue to protect us, grant us the understanding and the comfort and joy of knowing that your love will never be lost. We look to you, Lord, and we trust you. We thank you for all that you have done for us. Continue to watch over us, Father. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen.